Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5HETIDE.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5HETIDE.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Today on the Back Row Fantasy Show, me and Arms are going to talk about free agent frenzy. Coming up on the Back Row Fantasy Show, starting now.
Welcome to the Back Row Fantasy Show with your hosts, Jeremy Barker, Aaron Arms, and Brian Hucks.
Oh, man, I would like to say it feels good to be back in the studio, but I don't have Arms' beautiful face to my left. But
you
I
do,
guess,
but I'm really, really far to your left.
Really, really far to my left. Would that be my left? I think it would actually be my right.
I don't think so.
Really?
I'm fairly confident that I'm on your left. Huh. Think about it. Your right goes towards Beaver. Your left goes back towards Wellston.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I'm kind of to your front left.
Okay. Yeah. That you may be spot on with that then.
I might be literally at the same angle, just like 14 miles away.
Yeah, it's too far away nonetheless. But so here it is. Has it been quite 2 weeks, Arms, since we put out an episode?
Yes. We did not record last week. We did not record Friday. Therefore, it has been 2 full weeks.
It has been 2+ weeks since we've recorded. And granted, we don't have any massively big, great episode to bring to you today. We just want to talk a little bit of football. And there is some things going on that are worth talking about. Granted, we're not jumping back into the draft stuff, but I'm here in the studio. Arms is to my far, far left at his house with his microphone set up, which is working out pretty nicely. Arms has got this figured out. We've got it figured out. So we're going to bring you a show, much to the joy of what? Just Bauer, you think?
Much to the chagrin of our most of our fans who are like, I listen out of obligation rather than want.
Yeah, it's kind of nice to take a couple weeks off from those guys.
They probably aren't listening anymore. They're like, who the F are these guys?
It'll be interesting to look at the downloads and see if we all of a sudden drop down to next to nothing.
I mean, which is different how? I mean, how much closer to nothing can we get?
I mean, we're a good... We're about the same distance away from nothing as you are from me right now.
That's okay. All right. In the grand scheme of things, really, really close, but it feels like we're really far away. Gotcha.
Yeah. And it does. This is totally weird sitting in this building by myself. It just doesn't quite feel natural. And we did have a couple people that commented on our Twitter post that we were going to release an episode that said, you know, it's nice to know you guys are doing that when we all know that you all sit together. And that's true. This is hard for us. This is not easy. This is not what we set out to do. We did not set out to do remote location recordings. So
yeah, that's a big reason why it kind of, why the Back Row works so hard on quality. and we wouldn't just allow somebody, you know, who lives in, I mean, because I think Bowers, he's great, but he's in Pennsylvania.
Right.
You know, there's Stoops down in, he's in Texas. You know, I mean, these guys are great personalities and they're great guys with fantasy football, but we want that same room experience. It just, to us, it's important. And it's also nice for you to watch me roll my eyes as you say something like you love Kyler Murray.
Right. Yeah, it is. There's definitely, that's what makes it fun for us. And though we appreciate guys like Bauer and Stoops and multiple others saying, you know, if you need someone, give me a call. Like, yeah, you know, we may, but the truth of the matter is we really enjoy doing this all together in the same room. So anything less than that is a little bit difficult for us, you know, at least I just don't get into it as much. I just got done recording a podcast for the Back Row Talk Show, and it was a great time. Like, it really was. I had a good time, good guest, talked about something that I enjoy, but it just isn't the same. It's not the same as when the three of us are sitting in a room, when we can take a break to grab a beer or take a break to talk trash to each other. It's just not the same.
Do you know how many beers I've grabbed to bring down here with me, knowing that I can't just give you the roll tape, double, you know, the finger twists?
I'm going to say one.
It's like five.
Oh, okay.
I brought moonshine down too. You know, I'm not getting up. You have 45 minutes to an hour of my undivided attention.
Good Lord. Which granted, I know you're watching WrestleMania. So at any point, if we're done, just say we're done. I think, you know, being able to do this remotely, I think people would understand if we quickly got off of a topic and like, okay, that's it. We're good. Arms wants to go watch WrestleMania with no crowd. And you know, I don't want to take it much past possible 7 o'clock either. So I've got some other plans.
So real quick, just, you know, everybody talks about what they're doing. Me and Bark, both in the finance world, we've limited our exposure as much as possible.
Essential.
Yeah, we're essential employees. But, you know, honestly, however you view this, like, even if you don't think it's that serious, let's be realistic on something, guys. If you're not taking it serious, this crap's just going to drag out further and further.
Yeah.
I mean, it almost feels like whenever you know, what is it, the Breakfast Club? You want a week? Make it 2 weeks. I keep going, buddy. I can do this all year. It's that right. Crap. Like, yep. If you keep, just try to flatten the curve.
Yeah.
My wife's in healthcare. It's important for you guys to, you know, to stay home. And however you view it, the more you are going out and, you know, going against the recommendations, the longer this is going to last for us.
Right. And let us also be clear. Let me also be clear. I'm 100% behind Arms on that statement. And I will add, no matter what the reason is that we're supposed to be staying home, let's just stay home. There's a lot of stuff going on Twitter with like empty hospitals and all this stuff. And there's just a ton of reasons to question things. But the bottom line is we do need to stay home. We do need to practice social distancing. We do only need to go out when we absolutely need to. And that's not to say, you know, I don't know what I'm trying to say here, but the possibility is enough that we should stay home and stay safe. The possibility of catching this and not knowing we have underlying conditions or, you know, just the possibilities alone, you know, I'd rather not risk it for the biscuit, as Jameis Winston would do.
And I think it's safe to say out of our 10 viewers, 9 of them, or 10 listeners, 9 of them probably have no like physical worries or ailments, but it could be that one, you know what I mean? And
yeah,
if you're healthy, the instruction for you to stay home, it's not for your good. It's for your grandma's good.
Right.
It's for your kid's good. It's for somebody else's kid's good.
Yes.
You know, this is what it is. I don't want to stay on the high horse for this too long. So let's dive into this crap.
Yeah. And I imagine whenever you pitch the idea of talking about some of the free agent crazy stuff going on, I think we're on the same page. Like, there's deals falling through right now. Eli Apple, for some reason, was the first one that comes to mind.
Yes, that's what I was getting ready to talk about.
But
you can go ahead on that. I mean, it's a Raiders move.
Yeah, no, I mean, just in general, I mean, he's kind of the example. Like, Eli Apple was a Raider, now all of a sudden he's a Saint, and didn't the Raiders bring someone else in after that fell
through? Demarius Randall.
Demarius Randall, that was actually one of my favorite.
Demetrius Randall, sorry.
Yes, he's one of my, no, I think.
Is it Demarius?
No, I think Demarius is the safety and Demetrius is the tight end or something. Demetrius Harris. Yeah,
I feel like I know I've got this screwed up all of a sudden.
Yeah, but you're on two former
it's
Browns.
It's a guy from the Browns.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Both of them, I think, are from the Browns, but you're on the right track, and I don't think either one of us know 100%, but I think it is Demarius Randall. And I actually think that's a better signing.
Suddenly.
That's a better signing than Eli Apple.
Literally could not, absolutely could not agree more. Eli Apple's a liability. I mean, the dude tests completely off the charts. He's incredible as far as like speed, change of direction, all that stuff. You know what he's not?
What?
He's not an incredible cornerback.
No, he's not. He's got potential, but thus far in his career, he's a bust.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, he's a liability. I mean, I believe our own Daniel Rozier would agree. I mean, he was a joke for the Giants. He's okay with the Saints, right? He's okay.
Yeah.
But the Raiders need more than a guy who's just an athlete out there. They need a cover corner. And you know what? If all the more you're going to upgrade is put Eli Apple in as your slot corner, give me Randall for my safety instead.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it worked out pretty well for the Raiders. They may not agree, but yeah, give me Randall. I was hoping that Miami would sign Randall, actually, and I had no thoughts about them signing Eli Apple because I just don't care. But Randall, I actually was kind of hoping would land in Miami. But, you know, I feel like your team and my team have both had really strong off seasons to this point. So
I agree.
It's a good signing. It's a strong signing. So we can go back to some of these guys.
Is Demarius Randall. Okay, I got it right.
I thought so, but you, Demetrius, what's the tight end in Cleveland? Demetrius, either Harris or Randall. I don't know.
I think it's Harris.
Might be Harris.
Every time, whenever I played against somebody, they freaking had Demetrius Harris with a freaking random touchdown.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Especially when,
cause he's nothing but a streamer. Yeah. Nothing but a streamer guy.
Dangerous one at that.
Yeah. It's like you pick up Demetrius Harris and all of a sudden it's like, well, there's 8 points. You're like, how the hell did Demetrius Harris get 8 points?
Yeah. He caught one touchdown, one reception, 10 yards.
There we go. And it was infuriating. But, you know, whenever you're expecting someone to lay an egg on that position for you to, you know, help secure the win, they don't. So are there any – now, here's one thing I've noticed. This is like an unprecedented situation because until the contracts are signed, they're not official.
Right.
Okay.
And there's a lot of those hanging in the balance.
Tons of them hanging in the balance. So what happens if your team, they go out in free agency and they're trying to sign? I mean, I can't think of anyone off the top of my head, but all of a sudden, let's just say that
Jadeveon Clowney.
Now, Clowney's a bad example. He's okay. A real bad example because other than Young, there's nobody in this class that's going to make you not want Jadeveon Clowney still. But let's say Jameis Winston. Okay. If you're Miami and you sign Jameis Winston, but you don't sign Jameis Winston and you don't make any moves in the draft, but yet Tua falls to you, you might just let the Jameis Winston deal fall through.
Yeah, you can just bail on it.
I mean, because why pay the guy?
You don't.
Exactly. So I've never, hopefully we'll never see anything like this again, but this is just unprecedented stuff for me, you know, and I mean, there's players all over the league that this is going to happen to. I just find it incredible that some of these guys they're in principle signing with these teams, but the draft hasn't happened. And before they actually get pen to paper, the draft might eliminate some of them being a need for a team. You never know what falls to you.
And the draft is coming. So, I mean, physicals we don't know are coming for sure, but the draft, at least as of today, it's coming. So, the reason I mentioned Jadeveon was he wasn't a good example for that situation, but I wanted to touch on him as being a guy that turned down $17 million a year from Miami, and because of his health and because of, you know, teams probably wanting to test him out, his asking price all of a sudden is now $17 million because he's unsigned. So hey, buddy, good job passing on Miami. You could have got that $17 million, but now you're probably not going to get $17 million. But I mean, this pandemic has affected even high profile guys like Clowney. I wonder if it has also affected Jameis and Cam. I mean, those guys, you know, it's definitely affected Cam.
There's no doubt in my mind.
Right.
Jameis is banged up a little bit here and there, but Cam is always seems to be battling with something. I mean, finished the year on an IR. They want to see whether or not his shoulder's good to go. And I mean, I don't know if you've seen his workout videos. He's incredible looking.
Yeah.
I mean, he looks like DK Metcalf's training partner right now.
Yep.
And I think that this is a reason why Cam is still out there hanging in limbo.
Yeah.
I mean, Cam could be a Charger. You know, Cam could be a Dolphin. Cam could be a freaking Raider. We don't know. But until teams can, you know, kick the tires on him in person, no one's willing to put that kind of equity into him because, you know, he demands the price. Because as much as I knock on Cam for not being a viable fantasy quarterback, and I honestly don't think Cam's a great quarterback. I think he's a great athlete at the position. He changes the way your team plays offense. And he changes the way defenses have to defend you. I mean, there's no doubt about that.
Yeah, he's a wild card. He's not an elite quarterback. He's an elite athlete.
Exactly. So I think this is killing him because honestly, otherwise, provided his health checks out, he wouldn't have lasted a day in free agency if someone could have got a physical warning.
I want to lean that way too. I'm pretty sure you're right. But then at the same time, you know, we've got these teams in situations. This is kind of a unique year for the draft because we have four quarterbacks that could potentially go in the top five. I don't think that'll happen. It sounds a little crazy, but I mean, people are going to be vying for a quarterback. There's going to be trades up for a quarterback. There's no doubt about it. So, I mean, there may just be teams because there's not a lot of teams that need a quarterback, but the teams that do may just be waiting the draft process out to see if they were able to pay enough to get their guy or if they missed out and Cam and Jameis are now the contingency plans. So, I mean, they're, you know, we've got them hanging around because of that. So, and the fact that Cam does have a few injury issues and question marks only supports, you know, the idea of waiting till after the draft to sign one of them. But we could see both of these guys on the outside looking in for a starting job.
You're absolutely right. I mean, isn't that incredible?
Dude,
I think that Cam, you know, Cam and Jameis could both be backups this year.
I traded two separate leagues. I had Cam, I dealt him. I had Jameis, I dealt him. And it could not have worked out better, at least right now, especially the Jameis thing, because I traded him for like a second round pick, and I don't think Jameis is going to be starting for a football team in September.
Now, a team that's willing to go after Jameis, though, we have to realize, obviously, there's a team like the Patriots that would be willing to say, all right, you know, we're going to bring you in. We know you're, you know, a veteran and good enough to play at a high level in this league. You know, someone like that, yeah, you're loving where he's at, but for the most part, it's going to be a bad team that's going to have to sign him.
It should be. And I don't think the Patriots are a landing option for either of those guys because the Patriots are such a weird team. When's the last, I mean, besides Randy Moss, they don't bring in high-profile free agents. They just don't mess with it. Antonio Brown, I guess you could say, but I mean, that was like a discount, you know, he was a problem player, but
yeah, Moss, AB, and I think the last, whenever you think like high profile guy, was like Corey Dillon.
That's the only other name I could think of, and I'm completely sold that it's going to be Stidham or Hoyer or a rookie. I don't believe Jameis or Cam is going to be on the Patriots, so it's like, where do they fit? The Chargers seem dead set on Tyrod and a rookie if they can land one. Mm-hmm. Granted, they're one of those teams, if they miss out on a quarterback, it could be Cam that's their contingency plan.
I think that is such, like, if you're set to go to war with Tyrod, I just think you're planning on trying to lose for Lawrence or something at that point.
It's been proven. I mean, it's been proven that Tyrod is not going to make your team. I don't think he makes your team worse than an average starter, but he doesn't make it better than an average starter. So it's just proven. He is very much a Troy Smith kind of quarterback.
He wishes he was Troy Smith. Tyrod's bad.
A Troy Smith in the NFL type of quarterback.
I'm sticking by my statement.
Okay. I guess he had a moment with the Ravens there, but.
Well, Troy Smith had a couple wins with the Niners back in the day as well, whereas Tyrod just really hasn't done anything above being maybe a 500 quarterback anywhere.
He played okay for the Bills for a minute, but you could tell that long-term just was not an option with him.
I still think he was like a 7-9 guy.
Well,
they
weren't
a playoff team with him. You know what I mean?
I think they had a fast start that year, and then just, the true colors showed. Tyrod was not a starter. So, yeah, the Chargers would be kind of crazy to go that route. Or if you know Ryan Haith, which me and you know, no one else is going to know that name unless they're in our friend circle. But Ryan Haith claims that Cardale Jones could wrangle that starting job away. Why does he claim that? Because he had no fucking clue that he played in the XFL.
Hey, P.J. Walker played in the XFL, though.
And now P.J. Walker, potentially, you never know, maybe he could beat out Teddy. Maybe.
There's a reason PJ Walker played in the XFL.
Oh, I agree.
He might. Now I'm saying that as a guy who doesn't believe in Teddy Two Gloves as being a stud in the NFL. And speaking of Teddy Two Gloves, let's go ahead and go down this path. Don't overpay for Teddy Bridgewater. Like,
have you seen anyone talking about paying the price for him on Twitter? Like, is there a secret Teddy Two Gloves club that I wasn't privy to?
I've seen a lot of people say, they're like, hey, rate my team. They got Teddy Two Gloves as a starter. I'm like, what are you doing? Like, listen, I know the quarterbacks are, once you get past the top three or four, like, the cliff's pretty steep at that point. But
yeah,
Teddy Bridgewater, for stat purposes, for fantasy purposes, he's going to be 15th to 25th. Like, he's barely a starter in fantasy format for me.
Right.
And some people make, well, he's mobile. No, he's not.
No, Teddy is not a mobile quarterback.
There's nothing that Teddy Bridgewater does that makes you think, wow, we've got to change our game plan for Teddy Bridgewater. Now, he loves throwing the ball short. And my God, they got three guys. You get the ball short and they can make magic happen in Carolina. So
here's what Teddy Bridgewater is. If the Cardinals can add some pieces to that team and get back to being a playoff football club.
Hold on, the Cardinals?
I'm sorry, the Panthers. The Panthers. If the Panthers
I thought you were
going to
do
pieces.
Some sort of analogy. It's like Teddy Bridgewater could be the backup to Kyler or something. I'm like,
No. I love Kyler Murray. No, if Teddy can get the right team around him, Teddy's ceiling is Trent Dilfer. He is potentially one of the best game managers in the league, but Teddy Bridgewater's not putting you on his back and taking you where you need to go. Teddy Bridgewater can be effective with a good all-around team, but that's it. I mean, he's a fantasy backup in Dynasty League. So I agree with you 100%. Don't overpay.
What did you you cut out there for me for a second. What did you say his ceiling is?
Trent Dilfer on a good team.
Oh, Jesus, criminy.
His ceiling is Trent Dilfer on a good team. And I don't mean that his stats are that ceiling. His potential as a starter in the league is Trent Dilfer. He's not a long-term starter. He's not going to put you on his back and win games. But if you put a great team around him, you can win with Teddy Bridgewater, just like Baltimore did with. Yeah, he's a manager. And
now,
that's,
let's put a number on it. I think his cap high point for him is 25 touchdowns.
I was going to say the exact same number, 25 touchdowns. Now, granted, I'll put him at 12 or less interceptions. So, I mean, I wouldn't even be surprised if it was in the single digits, in the 7 to 8 range. Wouldn't be surprised. But 25 touchdowns to me does seem to be his ceiling, and 3,500 yards is his absolute ceiling for me.
Yeah, if you here's the problem we have. I have with Teddy Bridgewater, the inefficiencies that Cam has passing the ball. Now Teddy's better at protecting it, but as far as pushing it downfield and, you know, making those giant chunk plays, I just don't. I think Teddy and Cam are fairly equal passers in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah, Cam obviously probably has the better arm, but Teddy's probably a tad more accurate. But you average it all out, yeah, they're probably. I wouldn't say I'd rather have one over the other definitively.
Yeah, but then you take away 6 to 14 touchdowns on the ground.
There you go. There's the difference.
Woo! All of a sudden, you eliminate Cam Newton's ground game. He's unownable.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not great. Not a great situation if you don't get the ground game, which, you know, Cam is not one of the younger players in the league now, so wherever he goes, you might have to eliminate half of that production you used to get from Cam on the ground.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to have a Christian McCaffrey-esque running back to you know, have that additional threat for his, you know, the RPO and whatnot.
Right, unless the team is just signing him to, like, get that one or two decent years out of him, they'll probably manage his reps as far as a runner goes.
As they should have since he started in the league, honestly.
Yeah, he kind of got tossed in there, and he wanted to be a battering ram and do the Superman thing from battling his way to the end zone, and Carolina let him. So now it's shortened his career.
Yes, yes. So before we get further down the whole free agency thing, how crazy are the Texans?
Well, I get that DeAndre wanted to be paid. I get that him and Bill O'Brien didn't see eye to eye. I understand the fact that the Texans thought it would be better to trade him. Now, granted, the right move is to move on from Bill O'Brien. But when Bill O'Brien is your GM and your coach, if the owner's behind him, I get moving DeAndre Hopkins. I totally understand it. The problem was what they got for him. Did they even shop him? Like, I know that you're going to have to pay a first-round pick and a new contract, but that's what Buffalo did with Diggs, and you're telling me no one was willing to do that for Hopkins? A second David Johnson is just – it's stupid. So
– I agree.
Stupid. It's just stupid.
I mean, David Johnson is a shell of himself.
Yeah, he was a throw-in to the second-round pick, in my opinion. So this was all about the second-round pick, and it is a bad decision.
Like it, let me ask you, let's say that they would have said, we're going to give you, just for shits and giggles here, Christian Kirk, David Johnson, and a second rounder. Are you more comfortable with it?
More comfortable than just a second and David Johnson. Hell yeah.
But do you think it's fair at that point?
Oh, man.
I here's what I'm going to say. I don't think this trade would have been allowed to go through on Madden.
not the current one, no.
That's how bad I think it was.
If you add Christian Kirk, it makes it better. But then at the same time, if you're Houston, do you really want Christian Kirk, Will Fuller, and Kiki Kuti as your – I mean, you don't have a possession receiver on that roster. I mean, you've got slot and speedy guys.
Slot, it feels like.
Yeah. So, they could have at least came out of this and been like, we'll give you Hakeem Butler and maybe Keyshawn Johnson too. Hakeem and Keyshawn. Maybe you get a good receiver out of one of those two guys. But no, just a second and David Johnson. Like, that's a damn joke. Unless Houston nails it with that second round pick on a guy like Denzel Mims and he fulfills his potential, it just looks really bad all the way around. And David Johnson would have to play well for them for it to look good.
Yeah, I'm just – am I wrong? Do the Texans even have a first-round draft pick this year?
No, it's Miami's from the Laremy Tunsil deal.
Okay, so they don't have a first-round draft pick at all.
No, and they could have.
What are they expecting to – like, what are you expecting to get to potentially replace Nook?
Denzel Mims is my only toss at it, or Laviska Shenault, one of those two guys, because I believe what pick is that? What did they get? Which that deal's not done. That deal's not done yet.
Pick 40 is their first pick in the draft if that deal is finalized.
And is that the pick they gained from it?
Yes.
So they got the 8th overall pick in round 2 for Hopkins?
Yes.
So you're looking at maybe Justin Jefferson, likely Denzel Mims or Laviska Shenault. So, I mean, you got to nail it, whoever it is. If it's not a receiver, I think it's the wrong move.
They don't pick again until 57. I mean, granted, NFL teams are built in the 2nd, 3rd, and 4th round. Okay? We know that, but you have an all-pro. And this just feels like the Texans' way to where you run the guts out of your guy and then you get nothing out of him. I mean, think back to Andre Johnson. You know, ran it until he had no value. And I think he actually left, this is going way back, probably as a free agent to go to Indy. And then, gosh, I feel like Arian Foster, I believe he retired from there, but he, you know, there was nothing they got out of him. And it's just the way of it. How big of a impact does this, like, knock Deshaun Watson down for you?
I think it's bigger than it looks on the outside, because I would be utterly shocked if he wants to be in Houston long term after this. So, I think it hurts significantly. I don't think they will know the pain of this trade until after the 2020 season, and then I think they'll feel the pain of this trade.
So, a couple of thoughts from this trade. Will Fuller, way up for me.
Yeah. Okay. But then you got the issue of, like,
can he be the number one?
Way up for 8 games, way up for 5, or way up for 13?
I noticed how 16 wasn't an option.
It's not an option. Definitely not.
I think this increases David Johnson's value as high. He is at his ceiling right now.
If he is healthy at all, he's going to probably catch 75 balls.
Now, do you think there's a snowball's chance in hell that he produces like he did that special season a few years ago?
0% chance.
I agree.
Zero.
I agree.
He basically is middle. No, let's say he's basically 3/4 of the way into a Frank Gore-like career. Right now, he can probably be as effective as Frank Gore was in his 13th year in the league. Out of the 16 to 18, he's been in the league.
Except for Frank Gore could actually run people over, but yeah, I'm with you.
Right. I mean, David Johnson, his best years are behind him. Can he have a better year than last year? Yes, but that's if he's healthy, and that doesn't mean that he'll be better on a yards per carry basis or a yards per reception basis. It just means the volume could translate to better numbers. I don't think he's going to find the fountain of youth, even though he's not that old. And he's not going to just gallop over people. He really did only have one special season, and that's the risk you take with acquiring a running back in the NFL that's not a rookie.
Absolutely
right. May have already seen the best of him.
I think we have seen the best of him. I mean, even after his special year, and I'm not trying to, you know, say I'm some sort of a savant at this, but I never wanted David Johnson shares. What he did was just so many touchdowns. His actual yardage wasn't, you know, on the ground wasn't crazy good or anything like that.
Well, he was a good two-way back. I mean, you knew you were getting receptions, but so, I mean, I was definitely an interested buyer, but never with the intentions to pay top dollar. There was always reservation there.
And I never wanted him for the price that it was going to take to have him, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
As you said, and we've talked about it many times, everybody has a price.
Mostly.
What other big moves?
If you want to go back to the falling through of free agent things, Michael Brockers, that deal fell through for the Ravens. So the Rams jump all over it and re-sign Michael Brockers. And then you have the Ravens then turned around and immediately signed another D lineman. Hold on, I'm drawing a blank on to who that was.
I don't have the old tracker in front of me. The one I had kept pulling up a forced Adobe update, so I scrapped it.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Sorry.
Oh no, I was just going to say it wasn't a Michael Brockers level talent, but they did sign someone. I'll have to figure out who it was while you go ahead.
Well, yeah, while you're looking for that or looking that up, what about Kiki QT? Does that move add a lot of value for him to you?
I think he's a solid dart throw. I mean, if there was someone that I was looking to acquire on the cheap, if possible, I mean, he's one of them. Because if he does stay healthy, he could be a PPR machine. I mean, he's built in the same mold as a Wes Welker, Julian Edelman type of guy. He could definitely be a slot machine for Houston. But again, Houston and healthy receivers, those aren't words that usually go together.
Isn't it crazy how the only person that's had significant health has been Hopkins?
Yeah, and they trade him. So
as we're circling around, biggest name in free agency, arguably Tom Brady. He goes to the Buccaneers. Does Tom Brady get back into your top 12?
No. He's got the receivers to do it.
I don't think he has the arm or the line, though.
We're talking about dynasty here. So In redraft, yeah, he's in my top 12. I'll put him in the 10, 11, 12 spot. One of those spots, because of the roster around him, yeah. But dynasty, no. Because if there's ever a chance that we see the full-on decline of Tom Brady, this may be it. It may be this year. It's a new offense. Like, I know Tom Brady's a smart, cerebral quarterback, but this is all new to him. Free agents don't typically just jump over and blow it out of the water year one. Maybe Drew Brees is the name that comes to mind that blew it out of the water immediately.
I think Peyton did first year with the Broncos too. But
yeah, Peyton did. We're
talking about special guys still at their prime level too.
We are. Yeah, Peyton was he was in his 30s for sure, but he wasn't 40.
He wasn't 42.
Yeah. So yeah, I just don't see it.
I think this could be the season that puts Tom Brady into retirement. I mean, he's going to get hit a lot. He's not going to be used to that. His receivers are go downfield and get upward receivers, and they're great at it. But there is no security blanket underneath. There is no Wes Welker type guy, you know, no Amendola there. That guy's Edelman, whatever guy you want to say that was his, you know, short intermediate route guy. That guy's not there. They don't have Adam Humphries this year. So are they going to completely – Arians is not changing what he wants to do. You know, he wants chunk plays, and he thinks Tom Brady can still do it.
Yeah, I just – there's going to be levels of the Buccaneers game. They're going to be a better team because Brady – will not throw as many interceptions as Winston did.
I'd hope not.
They will be a better team, but Tom Brady's not going to throw 40 touchdowns. Like, he might throw 30. I think 30 would be a successful year in Tampa Bay, but he's not throwing for 40. So no matter the weapons around him, I mean, there's going to be some floating balls out there. I don't see him throwing darts to those guys.
Absolutely agree. Absolutely. And I mean, once again, two guys that are just absolute stars when it comes to, you know, going up and get it. One thing I do think this, I know everyone says, well, Arians doesn't have the offense that's predicated to tight end success, but he's not the one out there throwing the damn football. No. You know, I think this helps OJ Howard out a lot.
Yeah, it better. If it doesn't, then you can write him off your dynasty list. If he does not have his best season in 2020, it's over for OJ.
Mm-hmm.
OJ,
are you a buyer?
And OJ Howard, no, I'm still not a buyer because I think the hype is already there. Like, people already think that Tom Brady is a tight end whisperer. So no, I'm not paying the cost of what he's currently going for. I would rather invest in something that the other OJ does than OJ Howard. So if OJ comes out with a new book, I'll invest in that, but I'm not putting a dime into OJ Howard unless it's a bargain. If somebody wants to sell him to me for a bargain, yeah, I'll take the chance.
See, I'm all about having O.J. Howard. I think that as long as they're, you know, putting him out on routes and not just having him stay in and block, I think he's got a chance to put up a really nice season, you know, 10 touchdowns, maybe 700-800 yards. But that comes from a short to intermediate route and do something with it from there type game.
Well, since we're on tight ends, what about Eric Ebron? Do you think Eric Ebron is a good buy low now that he's in Pittsburgh?
No.
You've never been too high on Ebron.
Yeah, I mean, even at Ebron's peak is what, 6th overall? And other than that, like, he's bumping around 12 outside the top 20. I mean, he's just – Eric Ebron's just not great.
With Andrew Luck, Ebron was a touchdown machine.
Mm-hmm.
But
so was Mo Alley Cox and Jack Doyle.
No, I get that. but I will say, if Ben Roethlisberger is healthy and Ben Roethlisberger looks like Ben Roethlisberger, then I don't mind owning Eric Ebron as my tight end too.
Ben Roethlisberger looks like Hagrid.
Yeah.
From Harry Potter right now.
Yeah, he looks like me. Like, he looks like me. Like, you know, there's some extra face cushion there, and that beard's getting a little old. He literally looks mm-hmm. like me. So, but I mean, the arrow is up for Eric Ebron because it couldn't go any more down. But I like the landing spot for Ebron as far as a tight end two with upside goes. What the hell was that?
Oh, kids upstairs messing around with something.
Oh. So it sounded like you rolled your desk over to a new location. You're like, yeah, I'm sick of this wall. I'm going to go to another one.
I'm going to shoot a text to get them to stop.
Nah, you're okay. Well, we're nearing the end of this special episode anyways. I don't think you need to text them.
All right. Phillip Rivers.
I think he I want to say we'll have a magical season in Indianapolis because the line is going to be much improved. He's going to have more time. But unless they add a wide receiver that's instant impact, I don't think they have the weapons for a magical season out of Rivers.
I just don't know if they have anything approaching what he had in San Diego, Los Angeles, rather.
Yeah, I don't think they do.
And to me, like, okay, maybe we get something closer to what everyone wanted out of T.Y. Hilton, but I don't – I mean, I'm all out on the skill position players for the Colts.
I'm not out. I mean, if T.Y. Hilton, I would take a flyer on T.Y., a healthy T.Y. with Rivers. I'm good there. If they don't draft a wide receiver, I'm all in on Paris Campbell with Rivers, but it's not enough. They really do need a big time go-to. I'm going to mention him many times in this podcast. They need a Denzel Mims or a T. Higgins. They need someone like that that can go up and get it or, you know, just out maneuver someone for the ball. They need someone like that. Their whole game right now on the wide receiver side of the ball is just speed. They need something else.
They need size. They haven't had size since, like, Reggie Wayne, size that could do anything.
No. I mean, they tried Devin Funchess, but that didn't work out. I mean, he got hurt. I don't even know how many snaps he played with the Colts.
It doesn't matter. He's garbage. Like, I have no desire to have Funchess on any NFL team.
We had that combo on Twitter as well. I would take a low-end buy on him. Like, I would probably pay a third or fourth.
I don't know if I'd pay a third. I mean, back and forth maybe, but I don't know. So, moving over to defense, your boys pick up Byron Jones.
Pretty happy about that. I'm not...
No fantasy impact, we know that.
Yeah, no fantasy impact, but, you know, it's a great signing for a team that needs to find ways to win more games. So, Xavien Howard, Byron Jones, I'm not saying Byron Jones is like a top five cornerback. I don't believe Byron Jones is a top five cornerback. Top 10? Yeah, I think he's a top 10 guy. And I think Xavien Howard, for that matter, is a top 10 guy. I don't think Miami instantly has the best pair of defensive backs in the league. I think they have with those guys together, they have a top 5 pairing in the defensive backfield. but both those guys individually are not top five guys to me. So I'm happy about it because the contract is front loaded. So it's not going, the thing Miami's doing right now is they're front loading all of their contracts. So they're paying everyone right now while they have the money. And every year the cap hit for those big contracts becomes much less and less. So I like the fact that they spent the money while they had it on Byron Jones, but he's not going to be a long-term cap issue for us. So love the signing, love the player, love the pairing. Very excited about next year because Tom Brady's gone. You could not convince me that the Patriots are going to be a Super Bowl contender with Stidham or Brian Hoyer. Like, they'll find a way to win some games and be competitive. I'm sure of that. But that division is open. It is open for the taking. So Miami making moves makes me pretty happy.
My favorite signing for all of free agency, Cordy Littleton to the Raiders.
Of course it is.
I mean,
not Kwiatkowski. You don't love the Kwiatkowski signing more?
I think the Raiders have very quickly and cheaply, really, ended up with one of the better linebacking cores in the league.
Oh, yeah. There's no doubt about that. The Raiders are – you got to hand it to Mike Mayock. I mean, he's done a good job so far.
Oh, I've said it before. In Gruden, I trust, right? Gruden had to have told Mayock he wanted these guys.
Right.
He goes after Littleton, who's, even though not a big name, still a huge producer, always there, you know, always at the football. The Raiders get him. They go after Kwiatkowski, which whenever his rookie year, I love the kid. You know, I talked about him before, thought that he was going to be the real deal, and it didn't work out. They end up with Roquan, of course. I thought him and Roquan were going to man the middle. Didn't happen. Of course, they have Trevathan. Trevathan gets hurt. Kwiatkowski ends up as a starter at the end of the year and did exactly what I always expected Kwiatkowski to do, and that's put up high tackle numbers.
Yep.
Kwiatkowski's, I don't think he's going to put up, 140 total tackles, but between him and Littleton, I think both of them are actually fantasy ownable. Littleton, obviously, fantasy starter, but I think as far as linebacker three, I don't think you're going to be upset with Kwiatkowski if he falls to you.
No, he's my linebacker three in every league that I'm in, and I'm encouraged. I'm excited about Kwiatkowski as a Raider. That's going to add a little more mean streak to him, in my opinion, and it's going to be – they're going to have a really solid defense this year.
All right, so moving down the list, Robbie Anderson, Carolina, the new Greg Olsen.
Everyone is trying to trade me this guy. And no, I don't not, want not any Greg, part
I'm
of it.
I'm sorry. I was looking at the Dallas Newper thing. So Robbie Anderson with – so Olsen's gone. We free up those targets, right? We've got – you've got DJ Moore, you've got Curtis Samuel, and you've got Christian McCaffrey. How does Anderson play in for you?
He's going to be a great decoy for DJ Moore to continue to bust the hell out. So, listen, Teddy Bridgewater – is less of a great matchup for Robbie Anderson, a pairing, so to speak, than Sam Darnold was. Robbie Anderson may have some spectacular 60-yard touchdowns in 2020. He may have a few deep bombs that are exciting, but it's all about DJ Moore and Curtis Samuel with Teddy two gloves at the helm. Robbie Anderson is going to keep defenses honest. I love the signing for Carolina. I think it's a great signing for him, but fantasy-wise, I'm hands-off of Robbie Anderson. I would rather have Curtis Samuel than Robbie Anderson. Yep, and I would much rather have DJ Moore than Robbie Anderson. So Moore, Samuel, those guys are going to benefit, in my opinion, greatly from Robbie Anderson and Teddy Bridgewater as opposed to no Robbie and still Cam. So the Robbie Anderson deal, he's what I wanted – Miami to take him to sign him for to free up other guys, keep defenses honest,
keep that safety over the top.
Yep.
Yeah. So one thing I will say is I think this keeps Curtis Samuel in his more natural position, which is in the slot.
Yeah. And that looks good with Teddy Bridgewater being the quarterback.
Yeah. So obviously, I mean, Robbie Anderson go route, run the nine over and over again, because that's what he does best. But I'm absolutely with you. I think DJ Moore's ascending. I'm not going to put him in my top 10 yet.
Thought you were going to say he's essential.
I've heard some people say that he's right there with Courtland Sutton for them. He's not quite there for me, but man, he's getting there. You know, we'll see how it starts working out in as camp, if camp happens, of course, as camp approaches. Obviously the receiver they own is DJ Moore.
Yeah. But
I'm not terrified of Curtis Samuel.
See, you mentioned Courtland Sutton, and I think Denver would have been the perfect landing spot for Robbie Anderson's value. Like, they're in the market for someone opposite Courtland Sutton, and I think having Courtland Sutton, Robbie Anderson, and Deshaun Hamilton in the slot would have been a dream come true for Drew Locke. So I don't know why it took so long for Robbie Anderson to get signed. He can get downfield, he can get open, and he's the perfect more like a Kenny Stills plus for a team to own and go out and help other guys around the field with. So I don't know. I don't understand why it took so long for him to land somewhere, but this is a good landing spot for the values of DJ Moore and Curtis Samuel.
Well, we talked about it earlier. It could have been people hearing that that Hopkins was on the block. You know, let's try to get Hopkins, see what we can do to get him. Otherwise, you know,
he went on day one of free agency, though. That trade happened immediately.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. You're right.
I mean, there was no time. Well, that was the hot start. Was what we expected Tom Brady to be the hot start, and it was Hopkins.
So a couple more before we sign off here. Austin Hooper to the Browns, four years, $42 million.
No thanks.
David Njoku just became unownable.
He's unownable, and Austin Hooper is not a top 10 tight end.
I agree with you. Now there's going to be games that Austin Hooper gets two touchdowns.
There absolutely will.
Absolutely, positively will be. This is going to render like the Demetrius Harris is irrelevant because he's never going to see the field.
I don't think he's. I don't even think he's a Brown anymore.
I don't even know. I'm just saying that number two or number three, four tight end
right. Just
no longer has value. It wouldn't shock me if they came out with a ton of two tight end sets and said, all right, we're going to go two tight ends, two wide receivers, and, you know, alternate those running backs. But, yeah, Hooper, low, maybe, man, for someone who finished, through week eight, far and away the number one tight end through week eight, he was ridiculous. I think his value is shot pretty hard going to the Browns. I think Baker has a hell of a rebound year, but Baker's marquee is passing and moving the ball around.
Right.
He doesn't hone in on anybody, you know, too awful much. And I just think that whenever we realize, yes, he was the third option in Atlanta already, but Atlanta threw the ball a hell of a lot more.
Well, I will add, if Cleveland does trade Odell Beckham Jr., for any reason, then Austin Hooper may creep back into the top 10 tight end situation for me. Cleveland may look to go a different route this year, like relying on the short to intermediate passing game with Jarvis Landry and Austin Hooper. So if the plan shakes itself out and we see Odell Beckham Jr. not on that team, I'll feel a lot better about Hooper. But as long as it's Beckham, Jarvis, Hooper, Kareem Hunt, and Nick Chubb, Hooper's on the outside looking in for volume, in my opinion.
All right. Schobert to the Jaguars.
No change in value for me. I think it's a wash. I like Schobert just as much now as I did then. No less, no more.
He's a top 10-ish guy always.
A full season of Schobert, he's top 10.
Yeah, I'm with you 100% there. Van Noy to the Dolphins?
Not fantasy-wise. This was a football signing. This is great for Miami. He's a guy that will play multiple roles. He'll do whatever you ask of him. But fantasy-wise, I'm not intrigued.
I agree. It seems like any time that they let somebody go, it's almost like they just know it's over for them or they're on some, you know, the back end. And
well, I think New England would have loved to have him back, but I really believe in the power of Flores, the power of Miami being, you know, a warm area, a desirable place to be. You know, it's a place where free agents want to sign, but they haven't for years because they haven't had a coach. They haven't had a coach that was worth playing for in years. So now that they've got a guy in Brian Flores that looks like he's going to be a good coach for a long time. The more I dive in about Brian Flores, the more I am 1,000% happy that Miami got this guy, and players want to play for him, and players are willing to be versatile in his scheme, unlike Minka Fitzpatrick, who just wanted to play, you know, one spot, didn't want to be moved around the field, and that's part of the reason he got dealt. So the fact that Kyle Van Noy wanted to play for Flores, I mean, it speaks volumes to me about where the team is going. I think they're going to build the team right with very few roadblocks coming up cap-wise, very few roadblocks as far as injuries go. If we have an injury somewhere, all these guys are going to be versatile. Kyle Van Noy, you want to plug him in where Jerome Baker was playing, you can do that. So I love the signing, but fantasy, whatever. It's not a big fantasy signing whatsoever.
I'll go through a couple more, and then we'll sign off here.
I actually have to go. See how that works?
real quick. We got to hit this one. It's a real big name. Melvin Gordon.
I'm completely fine with Melvin Gordon. To me, I don't think his value has changed at all. San Diego actually had a pretty crappy offensive line.
Los Angeles.
God dang it. Yeah.
I know. The San Diego Chargers. German for whale's vagina.
The line sucked, okay? That's part of the reason Melvin Gordon's numbers weren't great. And Melvin Gordon's moving right back into a situation where he's got an Austin Eckler-like player in Philip Lindsay, but he's going to have a better offensive line with a younger quarterback, with an up-and-coming stud receiver in Cortland Sutton, and a Noah Fant as well. So, I mean, the cast around him is not on much of a lower level than what Los Angeles had, but he's got a better line with what I believe is a better organization with more of a winning history. So I actually really like Melvin Gordon in Denver.
Is he a top five running back in Denver?
Top 10. I hate to call him top five. I've always been weary of him being a top five, but top 10, I'll say top 10. If Philip Lindsay somehow gets mad and requests a trade or something like that, I'll move Gordon into top five. But as long as Lindsay's there, it's top 10. Just like with Eichler. You know, I looked at him as a top 10 guy in San Diego too, just because Eichler's there. I mean, he's going to cap your fantasy potential at least a little bit.
And I know I said that was the last one, but Breshad Perriman.
Fuck you, Arms.
Hey, you know what? It's life.
Breshad Perriman. I like the signing. The Jets have no one. I picked up Perriman wherever I could. That being said, he's not going to perform like he did in Tampa. I mean, I think his ceiling is going to be 70 receptions.
Robbie Anderson upside?
Yeah, right at 1,000 yards, right at 7 touchdowns, but his floor is a lot more dangerous. I mean, we could be looking at a 45, 650, and 3 guy. But I'll take the chance in New York. There's no one to compete with to be a starter.
Absolutely. I mean, if he resigns for some reason with Tampa Bay, what the heck, man?
Right.
You just lost all of your value and all your potential to ever have a big payday.
Yeah, I like it much better for the Jets. I think Darnold's a solid quarterback. If they fix their line and Lev Bell and Breshad Perriman, Perriman could surprise. I mean, he could be a 1,000-yard guy, but I wouldn't put it much above that.
Gotcha. All right. Well, Bark, it was good talking to you.
Yeah, stay your distance. Keep away from me.
I know we didn't hit all the free agents. We still got guys like Blake Martinez, which was huge for the Giants.
Yeah, we just want to talk. We just want to talk some football. So, I mean, we've got time for sure. So, I'm sure when we get back on and do this again, hopefully we don't have to. Maybe some miracle happens and it's just over. But if not, we'll dive into some more free agents and just sprinkle some rookies in there, too, that we haven't talked about already.
Absolutely. Well, I appreciate you inviting me on.
Hey, thanks for coming on your show.
Yeah, it's a different feeling. But hey, you know what? We're going to get through this. We'll all get through it together. Yeah. Everyone just for whatever reason you believe, it's a good idea to stay home.
The co-founder of the show is my guest this week on the back roof. Oh God, these times suck.
It's weird. Hopefully we're never in this situation again. It's painful. It sucks. But, you know, I feel like we all look back in, let's say, August, September, October, and we're like, you know what? All right. It was probably the right decision.
Yeah. Yeah. Hopefully that's the case. So, everyone, until then, thanks for listening. Hope you get your dose of adrenochrome to get through the day.
Oh, you're going to go there.
Love it. And we'll see you guys. I'm sure next week me and Arms can find time to do this again if this isn't over.
This has got me so messed up. I forgot to say good morning.
Good morning. Yeah.
This is what's crazy. Oh, man.
It's wild. Right. It's wild. This is the first time me and you have done this on this show. We've only done it for my YouTube channel for a demonstration. So this is definitely new, awkward, and strange. But if we have to do it again next week, we will.
Yeah, sorry for the awkwardness. I understand sound quality is not great, but we don't have, you know, $2,000 sound boards. I'm operating off of a condenser mic.
It's working.
Apple computer. So
it's fine.
MacBook. That's the word I'm looking for.
You sound better than most of the podcasts I attempt to listen to. So I think it's fine.
All right, guys. Appreciate you tuning in.
See you next time.
Good night.
Peace.
This concludes another episode of the Back Row Fantasy Show. Thanks for listening, and be sure to give us a review.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.